everyone. This is Jay with the Magnify Him Together podcast. This is episode number 30. Today's title is Caught in a Thicket, the fourth podcast in our series on the Gospel of the Burning Bush. In our last podcast, we explored how the burning bush is a symbol of Yahweh's preservation of his people in all ages through his angels. In this podcast, Caught in a Thicket, we will have a look at how the burning bush is a symbol of the Father's salvation of his Son. We'll just begin in Exodus chapter 3 and read the first two verses. We read in verse 1 that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now we've reflected so far on some of the symbols here. We've reflected on what the fire represents. We've reflected on the angel in the midst of the bush. But we haven't looked very specifically yet at the bush itself. The Hebrew word for bush here has to do with thorns. We don't know exactly what kind of bush it is, but we do know that it is associated with thorns, according to the meaning of its actual root. And that's helpful in our consideration of the burning bush and how it is a symbol that we ought to reflect upon. The first place we read about thorns in all the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, as they spring up as a result of the first sin in the garden. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, God said to Adam. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so thorns and thistles come up as a result of that original sin in the garden. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. And so at the root of the very first sin of mankind is deception itself, and how it was that Eve was beguiled. And so thorns, not surprisingly, throughout Scripture, we see connected very closely with deception. We see an example of this in Proverbs chapter 24. We read there in verse 30 these words, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And the one who observes this in verse 32 says, Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And so this one who says to himself, just a little sleep, just a little slumber, finds himself deceived. And the result of that is that thorns and nettles cover over all the place of his vineyard. There are other places in Scripture, too, that thorns and thistles are associated with deception. One of those is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23. In verses 6 and 7, it talks about those who themselves were the enemies of David. And the enemies of David are called the sons of Belial here in verses 6 and 7, men who deceitfully pursued him when God was establishing his kingdom over Israel. And they're described as thorns to be thrust away because they cannot be taken with hands. They cannot be grasped with hands, because deceitful people, described as thorns here, are those who cause injury to others. There are other examples of this throughout Scripture. We read that sin itself is described as being deceitful. He says that we ought to exhort one another daily in Hebrews 3, verse 13, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so sin and deceitfulness, sin as a result of the first lie all the way back in the garden, are tied very closely together in Scripture. And so what is the connection here then to the burning bush, this bush which naturally should have been consumed, but was found not to be consumed in the midst of the fire of God? Well, for the answer to that, let's have a look at Genesis chapter 22. Because what we have here is a wonderful allegory of what would happen between the Father and the Son. And it prefigures the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 22 here. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And so Abraham and Isaac make their way to the very place that God had told him to go. And in verse 4 it says, "And the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." And it says in verse 6 that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife for the sacrifice. They went both of them together. They were together in this. And so what happened was that Abraham bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And in verse 11, the angel of the Lord, who was there in the midst of this particular affliction, calls out and preserves Isaac in this very special way. And so at this moment of temptation, at this moment of trial for Abraham, we find that Isaac is preserved in the midst of it. Abraham's faith is preserved in the midst of it. And it points forward to something very, very important, very special, when it would be that God himself would offer his own son in this very area as a sacrifice for sin. And if we keep reading here, what does this have to do with the bush, though? Well, if we look at verse 13, it says that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And although Isaac was not literally offered that day, he was as good as offered in the mind of Abraham. But though he was not literally offered that day, the Son of God would literally be offered. And it was upon the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that was placed the crown of thorns. And although they did crucify him, and although he was buried, although he did die, he was raised to immortality. In other words, he was unconsumed. And so we see the Lord here not as one who was deceitful in any way, but one who bore the same nature that we possess, who had a will of his own that had to be subjected to the will of his Father, a will that had to be laid down that his Father's name would be glorified. And in that will, in that nature, he had something in common with all of the brothers and sisters who he came to redeem in his sacrifice. Well, thanks for listening. Please join us again next Monday for another episode on the Magnify Him Together podcast.